I have a bar underneath my name on the right-hand side by the mute button that is progressively filling up. What is that?
That is a state of your diaper right now. Mm. It monitors wetness in real time.
Wow.
Welcome to Love in Brief, a brief ABDL advice podcast focused on issues of love. And it's all kinds of love, love for self and love for community. And today we're actually going to talk about kind of both, because it's going to be about love for your partner and how partners explore the community together. And I have the privilege and the joy of introducing my partner to Love in Brief, which is super exciting. So Lola, welcome to Love in Brief for the first time.
Thank you. I made it. I'm here.
You're here.
Hooray.
I've been really excited for you to join.
Yeah.
And you're going to join. I mean, you jumped right in the deep end here because you're going to join as co-host today and producer.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
I don't do anything. I always give my full 110%.
You can't turn this thing off, man. So Lola had an idea to bring on a couple of our good friends and chat about what it's like discovering and exploring the scene and in-person connection when you're doing it with a partner at the same time, which is something, Lola, you have experience with.
I do, because I am a convert, I like to say, to the ABDL world. And so I was brought in by one of my former partners. And so I navigated that space with them a little bit. But I'm just so excited to bring on our good friends because I love their story. And they have become such a just bright, amazing part of our little kind of local more community, our little circle that we have. So I'm so excited for them to share their story and give us all sorts of juicy tidbits about how they navigated this.
I am so excited about that too. Mm-hmm. And we could not have picked better people to talk about this with. Before we introduce them, because this is your first time, let me ask you, tell us about your love.
About my love. Do you have like 4 hours?
Oh, you do. I mean, I know from your social media as well, if folks know you as Lola and then some, they know that you talk love a lot.
I do. I actually used to be like Lola Loves used to be one of my handles. But yes, so I love love. Mm. And right now I am, wow, my love is so all-encompassing and I have such a love for the life that I've been creating and this little bud that was starting to grow and blossom that I've been cultivating within myself for the last couple of years. Mm. And that has brought me here to this community. I have so much love for our friends and the support circle that I found here. I have so much love for you. And just, you bring so much to my life and my heart explodes when I think about how much love I get to share with you and with my other partner. Mm. And in turn, I just have so much love for myself and being able to give that back.
Yeah.
Like it's like this reciprocal, you know, this circle that keeps going. And so my love is sort of unending and just keeps coming back.
It does seem to be an endless fountain from you. You do seem to just create more and more of it everywhere you go. And I think that's one of the things that drew me to you in the first place. And one of the reasons I'm really glad that you are doing this episode with me and hopefully a bunch of other ones, because you and I both think about how to spread love a lot.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Well, do you want to introduce two people that we love and we're excited to have?
I would love to.
Ah, I see what you did there.
So we have our good friends with us here, Tux and Rach. And how about we go with Tux first? Welcome to Love in Brief. And can you tell us a little bit about your love right now?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Lola and RY, for having us. This is Tux. A little bit about my love. I've got love for my partner, Rach, who is on this group here with us. She's amazing. You're going to hear really awesome stories from her, and hopefully this is really helpful for the community. I have some love for my cat, Bidoof, who is in her pineapple bed right here beside me, sleeping away soundly. You know, she's great. I've got love for my friends and the community. I found a really amazing group with you, RY. Lola, H Banana, Teddy. Who else do we have? We've got Dips and Brews, Tiniest Tyrant, Daddy Zumbo, Baby Beluga. so many, and I know that I probably missed probably like five more, but
this feels like the beginning of a really great rap song where you're just like throwing out all the creds of everybody who worked on this album.
I love it.
and last thing I want to shout out is my love for Rock Band. Super fun, and I know we all played it before together. And it's a blast. So,
oh man, you can't go to a party with Tux without Tux bringing Rock Band and putting it on like level 11.
Amazing.
And just kicking ass.
Yeah, Tux does kick ass. Tux does actually kick ass. Can we just stop this and go play Rock Band right now?
All right, guys, we're out of here.
Yeah, we'll see you in a week. I'm on my way.
Awesome. Thank you, Tux. And now, Rach, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your love?
Hi, everyone. I'm Rach. I'm Tux's partner. And my love is much like Lola's, it's never ending, and I love when it comes full circle. But I, of course, have love for my family, my friends, community, also our little kitty cat. I also have love for all things. I love Animal Crossing, reality TV, Taylor Swift.
Had to get Swift in there. Yeah,
you know, yep. I'm probably the biggest Swiftie, you know, just FYI.
This is
true. I love traveling and new adventures, and I love this little life.
That's so wonderful. And I love that.
Me too. And it's a great intro because we're going to talk about this life that you have built and that you and Tux have built together, and even some of the ups and downs along the way, because both of you talk about this community and talk about sort of engaging with the community today as sort of a love thing. It doesn't always start that way. And sometimes there are ups and downs on the way to discovering community and finding sort of a happy place together when you're coming from potentially two different places or places that maybe you haven't explored in your sexuality yet. So is that a fair intro to talk about relationship?
Very fair. Roller coaster, your typical roller coaster.
Roller coaster. Down,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if
it levels out, but it is a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's so much easier now that we're back in the roller coaster station house, you know, safe and sound to describe the roller coaster.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could give us a little bit of history, Rach, from your perspective on the beginnings and the roller coaster that kind of brought you to the community.
I think Tux is gonna give the history lesson.
Oh, good, Tux.
Okay,
bring it, professor.
Open my notebook.
Let me open my textbook. Okay, there we go.
Your textbook.
It's pretty heavy. Yeah, nice.
Well, nice.
Okay. So let's start. This is a inside joke, but I always like to start. I was a young Bruce Wayne. This is my Batman origin story, right?
There I was outside a theater with my parents.
Right. Yeah, it was raining. No, like probably a lot of people in our community, diapers Game Factory installed on me. I love that phrase, RY. That's like I will use that forever because it perfectly captures you know how that experience is. My earliest memories are at my grandmother's house looking up in a closet and noticing like old packs of my diapers as a baby and being like, holy cow, like this is it. This is the missing puzzle piece, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, my entire childhood, I remember like formative memories around wanting to be in diapers, and I don't know so much like using them at the time, but I remember I just like wanted them, and there's a lot of experimenting and moments through my childhood, through my preteen years, of like trying to get them and wearing them. I mean, like they didn't fit, but it didn't even matter because
was just,
I don't know, so comforting and amazing.
Did you go trash bag and towel route? Did you go paper towel and trash bag, regular towel?
No.
Oh, thank God you skipped that phase.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah, it's not.
We should
I promise.
Just do it now.
I promise it's not.
it didn't work out well.
That's not going to work as well as you think it is.
Oh.
I did actually experiment with towels and or blankets, but not trash bag over top of it, but still like yeah. that bulk and like feel, you know. Yeah, you know.
Oh,
so. Yeah, so like going into teenagehood, going through high school, early college years, I really felt a lot of shame and embarrassment around that interest. And I'm sure like a lot of people probably just try to repress it. You don't really understand it. It's abnormal, atypical, you know, and you don't want to single yourself out in a negative manner. Especially in those years where forming social relationships is really important, and you're forced to go to school every day and face your peers, so you really want to try to blend in and fit in and you know, survive.
Oh yeah, I remember feeling like the weirdest person in my high school, but in a way that nobody knew I was weird. And that's such a Tux. That is such a tough age to feel weird.
Yep,
yeah, that had exactly. to be really isolating.
Yeah, you feel isolated that way. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So yeah, I feel like just to survive, you repress that. And that's exactly what I did, you know. I guess for better or worse, I survived. I didn't have any, you know, negative experiences with it. But it definitely made things more challenging with my relationships in adulthood, especially with Rach, as we'll get here into just a minute. So, you know, college, I moved around, and I went to a concert, like a local show, and Rach actually worked at the venue at that show, and I bought my ticket from her one night, and was like, oh, dang, she's super cute. I'm going to go chat her up and see if I can get her number, which is not like me at all.
I love this. I did not know like, this part like of this your story.
This is so not Tux.
Also, Rach, what a rad job.
Yeah, Rach, in college, you were working at a music venue selling tickets. That's so cool. That.
Oh, yeah.
Now I see how the rock band is like, you know.
Yeah, rock band fits.
Yeah.
Rock band fits. It's funny because I was just earlier today at a music store in sort of the music district of our city, and I passed by the venue that I used to go to as a high schooler. And if I had chatted it up or like with the cute girl selling tickets, I would have felt like the president. I mean, I would have felt like I owned if the cute girl selling tickets at the rock venue would talk to me.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So Tux, did you get the digits?
Did you get the digits, Tux?
He sure did.
I got those.
All right. Yay.
Rach,
yeah, I was panicked.
Yeah. Tux described this isolation. So he says like he didn't practice a lot. Did he have game by the time he got to you?
He did. Surprising. It was it was genuine game. It was like that natural riz. Like it was. And of course, you know, working in a bar in a public space, like, you know, you're a cute girl. You're going to get attention a lot, you know. And it's so funny how open I was at that moment. You know, a lot of times, like, you know, guys would try to, hey, what's up? What are you doing? And you're like, please don't talk to me. Like, I'm at work. Just leave me alone.
Oh, for sure.
Something about Tux. Yeah, just that. Something about...
The universe brought you guys together.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, there's something about, you know, him being, you know, me feeling approachable and him actually being approachable, so...
Yeah, well, I love that focus on the genuine, that's what broke through. I love how it was Tux's genuine nature that carried through in a world where it's like everybody's hitting on the bartender. It was just being, and I know Tux, and I know how wonderfully like down to earth and charming he is. So I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. So Tux, take us there. So you meet this super cute girl, fireworks go off. What happens next?
Yeah. So, it's typical, relationship stuff. After that, dated for a little bit, ended up moving in. We got a dog, which was amazing but terrifying, and you know, we loved her to death. But the reason I wanted to bring that up is because this is like the way that Rach and I met was truly just your typical meet, you know, like it's she's just a normal person, and you know, no insight into the kink community, no insight into diapers or ABDL, like just normal relationship. And just two people, I think that's right? That's really important to kind of set the stage here. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly. So at the time, still repressing deep down, and even more so whenever I met Rachel, because I was head over heels for her. And you get this, you know, you have this shame, this embarrassment, but you also are juggling this love and joy, and you want to hold on to that for dear life. And I was, at the time, wrestling with these conflicting feelings because I started thinking about diapers a whole ton in my early 20s. And I don't know what it was, but like probably just 10 plus years of repressing it so hard, it just came back with a vengeance. And I think everybody here knows that this doesn't go away. Like, you can try, but it comes back. And,
well, I wonder if meeting... Yeah. I wonder if meeting Rach really kind of sparked that in you, right? Because now you are, I would imagine, thinking more about your sexuality, and right, that must come out. And I feel like that may have been the same sort of with my ex-partner, I think, was kind of a similar.
Having that love connection and that body
that
connection.
Now you want to, right, exactly. Yeah. You want to actually delve into like all of who you are with this person that you love, and that's part of who you are, Tux. So
yeah, I think that's right. Makes on a lot the of sense. Right on the head. Yeah.
Plus you were 20 and horny, which is also a thing.
Yeah.
20 and horny.
I mean, like, can I still be 38 and horny? Know, is that like a thing? I'm horny, so not allowed anymore. I'm just gonna excuse myself.
And you're right, that repression thing. It's hard to repress one thing without repressing everything.
Right, exactly.
And it works the other way, which is it's hard to let one part of your passion out, let's say in the form of romantic love, and not let all the stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
So it can come back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, I spent probably the first 4 years of our relationship just keeping that pushed down as far as I could, just for the incredible, overwhelming fear that I was going to lose Rach, this slipped out, or I didn't address it the right way, and the fear prohibits you from addressing it at all. You know, it's it makes you really uncomfortable and gives you a lot of internal conflict, and it's tough because you want to share that part of you with the person that you love, but not easy. Especially when you don't know how to communicate with it. And after we got married, the thoughts about diapers went into overdrive. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was like even more so. Like, we're like locked in now. I really can't mess this up. And maybe it's some sort of, I don't know, like cognetic thing that if you can't have something, you want it even more, you know.
Oh, that's absolutely sort of a thing. That is absolutely a thing. And and especially once you go rest of my life, like locked in, committed rest of my life, now that forbidden fruit becomes impossible to ignore versus
exactly
today I might not choose this, you know what I mean? It's just a huge spectrum.
Tux, I wonder, like, was there ever a point when you were dating, or maybe when you were engaged, that you were like, I need to tell her? But or do you you know, I'm just curious about if you really struggled with like, should I tell her, should I not tell her, before you got married?
That's a good question. If I think back on it, early on, probably not, because I was fairly confident I could just keep repressing it like I had my whole life, and this wasn't going to be a thing. But as I was, I guess, became more interested in, or I guess as dips became harder to ignore, I should say, I did have thoughts of wanting to tell her, and gosh, that was terrifying. Like, I don't, the way that we'll get to this in a moment, but the way that I did it is not how anybody should do it, which is by not telling your partner and them discovering it in their own way. So don't, this is not a, not a how to, you know, do as I say, don't not as I do type of situation.
Well, sometimes
that's a valuable lesson.
Yeah. Though, sometimes right? the don't do what I did is yeah. just as valuable or more so. So right. bring it on.
Yep. 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 So, so yeah, Rach, what happened? You grabbed my phone to look up something and stumbled upon search history, and that was that. You know, she basically found some diaper searches and was like, what is this? And terrified Tux did not know how to communicate or express myself or say what I want, and it just turned to disaster. It was awful. We were not in a good place for what, probably 4 months or so, I would say.
Wow.
It was scary.
Mm-hmm.
Rach, I wonder if you could, if you remember, and if you feel comfortable sharing, like, in that moment, what was your first thought?
Oh man, just like complete shock, confusion.
Yeah.
A lot of confusion. Like, what does this mean? Like, there's also a photo, like there was a photo of Tux wearing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think seeing that visual, it was like, whoa. and yeah, immediately, you know, the shock turns to trying to understand it and diagnose it and, like, what is this? Like, yeah. What does this mean? But yeah, definitely like shock and confusion. And sadly, you know, your brain goes to dark places and dark thoughts. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about like the resources and that I use to kind of help talk me off that ledge. But especially, you know, given the timeline and the history of things, you know, having major thoughts of like feeling trapped, like, guy yeah. just like swooned me in marriage, you know, it was definitely like pretty fresh into our marriage. And yeah, so I definitely had feelings of feeling like lured and trapped, like, what does this mean? Like, why didn't you tell me? And I now understand why, and I understand the like fear and shame, like I see that, and I cannot imagine what that would be like. I can't say that I would do what I would have wanted in that moment had that been me. So I have a lot of like empathy and yeah, I can't quite imagine what that must be like. But yeah, a lot of shock and confusion and just feelings of, you know, who's this guy I just married? What's happening? It kind of dismantles your image of that person.
Yeah.
I'm just feeling so much empathy for both of you in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine Rach being like, I just signed a lifelong contract, right? Like, yeah. Marriage is kind of a big deal. And I'm not sure if the person I signed it with was being forthcoming about who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's scary,
especially when you're thinking about the darker things. Like, what if this person is insane or, you know, doing horrible things?
Do I need to check your trunk for like,
right.
I don't know. It does. It opens this Pandora's box of, I'm already an anxious person who also loves true crime. I'm like such a true crime. I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like,
wait, how do we go from diapers to true crime?
You know what?
Okay.
That's true me. That's what happens when I'm involved.
Okay. Okay.
It's funny because I'm so used to the ABDL world now that's not my dirty secret anymore. Mine is true crime. I love true crime too. And I wish I didn't, because I feel like it makes me a bad person for watching other people's misery. But
everyone in my life loves true crime.
Okay. I'm not the only one. Okay. So. Okay. But fortunately,
the minority.
We don't see a lot of stories where diapers lead to homicide. That's not a very common pattern.
I was being kind of a vanilla, you know, person. My only exposure to like, you know, to that kink would have been whatever is sensationalized in the media.
Yeah.
So like I would have very much been a victim. I had no idea what ABDL meant. You know, maybe I saw like a Jerry Springer episode with someone in a diaper, and like that was my only exposure. So you only have like these reference points to lean on that are unfortunately negative and sensationalized.
So yeah.
Pair that with an anxious person, you know, perfect storm.
So I'm wondering, you said it was, you know, 4 months of not great ness. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious.
I would say maybe longer than 4 months.
Okay. Okay.
Longer than that.
Longer than that. Yeah. I wonder, you know, what was, what finally led, or what was that first more helpful or concrete conversation that you two were able to have?
So I think that we spent some time, a little bit of time apart, you know, still cohabitating the same place, but just gave each other some space to kind of understand and look inward and figure out what we wanted. And we eventually came together and decided we were going to try couples therapy because, you know, we still both loved each other. There was just broken trust and a lot of really complicated feelings to navigate through, and we just needed help. So we decided that we wanted to try to make it work and navigate through this. So we went out and we found a couples therapist, you know, that was covered by insurance and everything. And Rage, I don't remember if she was like I don't think she was a kink therapist. She definitely wasn't.
Like your run of the mill, and not talking any crap. But yeah, just like a couples therapist. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not that I know of any kind of kink history or sexual.
Yep. So we had a few sessions with her, and you know, explained the situation, what we were going through, and she gave us some tips, and it was a lot of typical starting points. And, you know, we followed her directions, but it just wasn't really working because the issue was the broken trust around the kink. And I myself didn't really understand it to be able to effectively communicate with Rach. And I think that's honestly the biggest problem, is I didn't understand my own feelings on the subject, and I couldn't express competently or confidently to Rach why I like this, why it's important to me, and why I'm keeping such an important part of my life from her. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really working out, and I don't think we were really feeling like we were making a lot of progress. So I one night just did some searches for ABDL therapist, and I stumbled upon Dr. Rhoda's website, and miraculously she took my insurance and was also like 10 miles away from where we lived.
So she was that was amazing.
That's wild.
I mean, it was like meant to be.
Yeah. And for those who don't know Dr. Rhoda, I should say Dr. Rhoda Lipscomb has been on our show before. Mm-hmm. She is a sex positive, kink aware therapist who also specializes in relationships that involve one or both ABDL partners.
Yes.
And so it's wild that you happen to live within a handful of miles of her.
Exactly. And at the time, I didn't know of her celebrity status, I guess you could call it, amongst the ABDL community. You know, I just thought she was a therapist, and, you know, her website was tagged with ABDL. So, you know, I rolled the dice and was like, I'm going to try this just solo, because I think what the real problem is I don't know how to express myself and to communicate with Rage on this. So I think I need to look further inward and figure this out myself. So
that's really brave.
That's what I did.
I was going to say, I'm impressed that you keep looking inward here. Yeah,
that's really brave talks.
Yeah, it is. And then we talked about Rach's moment of, oh my God, which makes a lot of sense. But you were also having a moment, if not months of, oh my God.
Yeah.
And that can be really, really hard on you too, to have this house of cards that you've been building for years topple all at once and not have the language and not have had the counseling to help you feel confident and competent, as you put it.
Yeah, and just the ability to put all of this, I'm sure, grief and struggle and everything, turmoil you're feeling inside, like, to just go ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the first step, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So how did it go?
How did it go?
So I had a couple sessions with her, and it wasn't like I filled out like a questionnaire that said, I love diapers, and that was what we started talking about. You know, it was, there was still a lot of anxiety even telling somebody who knows, who's aware of the community. It's still difficult, especially if you are experienced with that. So even with Dr. Rhoda, I really struggled with saying, hey, I'm here because I've been interested in diapers. I've had this infatuation with diapers my entire life, and I don't know what that means for me, or how I should cope with that, or and how I can communicate and express that. So it actually took a couple of sessions before she was like, why are you really here? So she kind of pried it out of me. And whenever I told her, she was like, okay, that's it. You know, she's very nonchalant about the whole matter, which was surprising, but it was also very comforting, because you would expect somebody to sensationalize it, especially if you've only been exposed to popular media, where, you know, people with diaper kinks and the like are not really shown in the best light. So there's a lot of stigma around it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how did you go from seeing her to being, I mean, was it her idea to bring Rach in as well? How did that go?
Yes. So I probably had 6 or 7 sessions. I was seeing her twice a week. And, you know, just kind of navigating what diapers mean to me and why I may have these feelings. And honestly, like, the best part was how I can use it to my advantage. You know, how to use it as a healthy coping mechanism, because you would assume that it's a pretty negative coping mechanism at first thought, but it's actually a superpower. I know that she says this to a lot of her clients, but if anybody else in the world had a thing that they could just do and it instantly calms you down and gives you clarity and makes you feel amazing and great, why wouldn't they want that? You know, they should.
Exactly.
You
absolutely.
Know, others should be envious of our superpower. It's incredible. So
yeah, if there were a vitamin that contained the kind of anxiety relief, stress relief, clarity, sense of well-being, sort of sense of wholeness, confidence that can come with it, that vitamin would sell out every morning, right?
Right. It's this amazing thing that doesn't hurt anyone or you. It's not addictive. It's not I truly do think it is a superpower, and we're so lucky to have that. Mm-hmm. So it's great that you came to that.
I'm honestly jealous. I get to a point where I'm like, man, in my journey of curiosity and unveiling of things, I, you know, admittedly was like, well, I want to see what all the hype is about. Like, what's going on?
Well,
and,
sure.
You know, well, yeah. Like, I don't want to be included, you know, put on a diaper, and was like, I just remember kind of like being like, when does this kick in? Like, when are you supposed to like do something?
I don't get it. I did all 4 tapes. Why don't I feel amazing? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's happening? But I can say that, like, there's definitely some like jealousy and envious going on. Like,
sure.
Man, you guys are, it just seems so euphoric and calming and beautiful. And, but yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you're able to see that. You know, having that inherently, I think that's so beautiful that you're able to see that.
And as we talk about CAP, I definitely,
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll dig into CAP in a minute. I will say that here we are safely in the roller coaster train station now saying, oh my gosh, I'm jealous of that you have this amazing experience. But like, what a 180 from the days, Tux, where you felt like, I can't tell anybody about this ever because it's, you know, kind of the worst part of me. And then Rach, where you're feeling like, is this person going to murder me because of diapers? And then, you know, here we are today going, wow, what a superpower. That's just it's an incredible transformation. And that stuff doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen without a lot of work and empathy and deciding to compassionately love your partner in both directions.
It took a lot of work
and, you know, I had obviously mentioned to Dr. Rhoda during our sessions, you know, that I was there because I was struggling with my relationship with Rach, but we really focused a lot on me, especially at the early sessions, like the shame and the embarrassment and the stigma, just overcoming that. I don't think that we would have made any progress with the relationship between Rach and I until I was able to overcome my own internal struggles.
Absolutely.
With diapers. So
absolutely.
So yeah, I made a lot of progress, and that was one of the best things I've ever done for myself. And after that, after I felt more confident and I could articulate why this was important to me, and also equally as important, articulate why I didn't share it with Rach earlier on in our relationship. Rach, I think that Dr. Rhoda actually brought you in to just have like a one-on-one session with you. I wasn't there for it, so I don't really know what happened, but do you feel comfortable talking about it?
Yeah, that was, I honestly, like, Dr. Rhoda, you know, looking back, that having her as that third-party resource was such an important and valuable piece of picking up the pieces and learning how to move forward. So I will give her so much credit. But yeah, I was chomping at the bit, you know, once we had obviously found her, and it was like, felt like this serendipitous thing, like, wow, this specialized doctor and therapist is so close to us. Like, this seems obviously we have to go down this road. But yeah, I was very excited and nervous, of course, to have a one-on-one session with her. And she sat me down and was the most frank and kind of matter-of-fact person about the subject, and it was that third-party resource that I needed. And she, you know, she was just like, what are your fears? What is so scary about this? Like, she obviously understands what the fears are, but she just looked me in the eye and was like, this is so much more normal, and I say normal loosely. she was just like, this really isn't what you think it is, you know, and I know that that's hard to hear, but she's, you know, just, and explaining to me, like, you know, a lot of people with it, you know, they're drawn to this kink. It's not something that goes away. I think hearing that really stuck with me. It's not something, I couldn't approach it in a lens of, okay, let's fix this and move on. It's how do we incorporate this into our relationship? Yeah. I think hearing and kind of seeing throughout the years that this isn't something that goes away. Sure, people ebb and flow through, you know, their usage and their relationship. But yeah, the factory install, like, definitely understanding that piece of it was really important. And she just convinced us to, you know, see what's kind of outside of our relationship, like, you know, learning that there was a whole community. And like, she told me about CAP, and she's like, you know, there's a convention in Chicago where everyone just like hangs out and wears diapers, and just has a great time. And it's like, wow, like,
this really, what?
You know, if you're like, wow, this really is like a thing. Like, this is a thing. And she was just, you know, we tried to kind of start with munches and like local stuff, and we kind of got to a point where like CAP was happening, and we were like ready to go to an event. So it was we just go here?
Wow.
And that's what ended up happening. And
so it's remarkable to me, and so much happens in the middle there, right? You don't come out of that one meeting with Dr. Rhoda and go, well, I'm, you know, this is great. Yeah. We got everything fixed. But I love your description of like, she helped normalize, but also acknowledged your experience and said, yeah, like that's very real. And also Tux, this isn't going away for Tux. Mm-hmm. I remember after the end of my first marriage, I remember thinking two things I need to tell every prospective long-term partner from here on out. I have a daughter and I have a diaper kink. Those are the two things that are never going away about me. My hair will go away. My waistline may increase or decrease. I may lose interest in a hobby, but two things that I know for sure aren't going away. Right. Mm-hmm. And getting to that point in that realization and coming to peace and really coming to terms with that realization was such a big step, much less asking a partner to come to terms with that realization. So I just wanted to call out, like, not only kudos for exploring that, but that that is a process and that's not a one conversation thing. And what you did over those months was a ton of work and a ton of change. And to get to a point where you wanted to go to an event is just remarkable.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
it's like keeping myself open to the experience. And like, I was in that stage, I was all about like education. I listened to like every Love and Brief podcast that had been out.
And now you're here. What?
I know, it's crazy. But, you know, these were the seeking outside resources on my own and understanding it on my own. Was really pivotal, and and I would definitely recommend that to any, you know, Noah partner that has found themselves in my situation or vice versa. But yeah, there's definitely resources, and you know, understanding that, you know, it's a spectrum, and it's not just, you know, I wear diapers and I like to do that. There's, it's so much deeper and so much more than you could possibly think. And it's definitely not a one.
Everybody experiences it different.
Exactly.
And it's important and it's deep and it's also not the whole person. And trying to balance those things and go, yes, this is a part of me that's never going away, but it's not the whole me. And all the things that you've always loved about me are still there. And we don't need to make my kink the center of even our sexual experience. Mm-hmm. But also it's not going away.
Right.
Yeah. You incorporate it.
Yeah.
So yep. I'm so curious now. You've gone and you've worked through this, and she's like, go to this diaper convention. And so I'm really excited to get into kind of the nitty gritty. I'm one of those people that I'm always looking for like actual practical tips. And that's something I wish I had when I was that Nilla partner. I didn't really have, or I had some resources and I probably could have done more. I'm so curious, you are getting ready to go to your first CAP, and like what discussions did you guys have beforehand? Did you set boundaries? Did you talk about expectations? Did you talk about like, hey, if you need a break, like here's a sign? I just think these are such helpful tips for anyone considering this, and I'm really curious what those discussions were before you guys even got to CAP. Mm.
Yeah,
so Rach, this is all you.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely boundaries. Discussing it, you know, I'm such a prepared person, and I like to. I'm a show up on time. Like I've got my notebook in hand. So you almost can kind of spiral in speculating what it's going to be like, and it's so funny the things that I was worried about my first CAP versus my third or fourth. But yeah, I mean, just really thinking about what it could be like. And I think, yep, setting boundaries, having those discussions, expressing your fears, even as how silly they might be. I remember being at a point where I was like, what if I'm in like an elevator with like someone wearing a diaper? Like this is like in like a confined space. Not that I was like weirded out or grossed out. It was just a weird...
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
for sure.
Yeah.
What's that elevator gonna smell like?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Totally. Really, I'm like, yeah. Like, is this place gonna like reek like pee? Like, you know, there's so. I think just allowing yourself to kind of like express those fears and.
Yeah.
And for me, my biggest thing was I found myself always going back to needing like an escape route or a plan B. I was always like, you know, I'm willing to do this, but if it's overwhelming or if I start to like, you know, not feel comfortable or, you know, just having that plan B always was super helpful. Whether that be, you know, it was important to stay at the host hotel so that, you know, I had a quick kind of my own space. I'm very much a creature of my like alone space. And so making sure that that was always an option. It wasn't like, okay, well, I'm starting to feel overwhelmed and now we need to call an Uber and wait 45 minutes. Like for me, the convenience of just like having the hotel room kind of be my sanctuary if I'm, you know, need to digress or evaluate some feelings. Also the location of the hotel was really great because there was so many like restaurants, bars, mall. There was always kind of something for me to say, you know, I've got an escape route. Should I need it? And funny enough, you know, I ended up not really needing it. We got so swept up in like the activities and meeting people and just the cap of it all that I didn't end up needing it as much as I thought I would, which was surprising. But also just checking in with myself. I noticed that, you know, a lot of people say like cap is such, it goes by so fast. It can, to me, it felt like a casino the first time. It was like, you don't really have your phone. You're not worried about time. Like,
you don't know what day it is.
Yeah, yeah, it does. True. It's consuming.
There's no window.
You don't know how much money you've spent. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very much like
or a diapers casino. You've peed.
Yeah. Wait.
You've made decisions that you maybe wouldn't have made.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, checking in with yourself, even if that's something that's scheduled or feels small, just checking in with your feelings. And I found those to be really helpful tips that helped me kind of go from like 0 to 750 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really appreciate the spaces that were available within the facilities. Like not only maybe if you don't have a hotel room, but there were quiet spaces. There were, you know, little like nap rooms, and I found, you know, a lot of space where it wasn't the height of excitement. And there was, I liked that there were different levels of energy where should you step away, there really is space for everything.
I love one thing that really stuck out there. I love how you said even scheduling time to check in with yourself. Mm. I'm like, that's something I should do even, you know, and yeah. Being a, you know, I'm a diaper girl, but like I still need to go. And I think a lot of us could benefit from going in with the expectation of like, you know what, maybe I am going to take 20 minutes every day at 1 o'clock or whatever and just go back to the room, check in with how I'm feeling. Is the day going the way I want it to? Is there something I need to change? Do I need a change? that's a really, I think that's a really wise tip for anyone.
Yeah. And I love the idea of an escape plan, like a plan B. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, we're talking about CAP because that was the first big event that y'all went to, but this is true for a munch. This is true for the first time or first few times, maybe a couple meets another couple or, you know, if you're bringing a partner into something that they're unfamiliar with, just having a signal, a sign, and an agreement that it's okay to end early is so helpful. And for the person with the ABDL kink, you really have to wrap your brain around the fact that this is not a rejection of you. And as excited as you are, and as at home as you might feel surrounded by 1,500 other people in diapers, if your partner, you know, pulls that ripcord and says, we need to take a break, or we need to get out for the day, or even go home. That's not a rejection of your kink. That's your partner saying, hey, I'm really glad we planned ahead and that you understand this is all brand new for me and this is a challenge. And that can be hard to swallow, but kudos to both of you for having a plan and for accepting that whether or not you use it, that plan is okay.
Yeah. One other
tip that I think was also really important was, neither of us had been to Chicago before, besides like layovers at the airport and stuff. But we also took that week and spent some time around the actual city after the convention was over. So that was also something else where we were flying in not just for this convention, but also as a little like trip together to go out and explore a new place and see the sites. And you know, we did the Bean and the Art Institute, and
that's good.
Went through Millennium Park, and we did a little river cruise and all the sites.
That's so fun.
And so much pizza.
So much pizza.
All the pizza. Rach, I can imagine too, then it felt like you know, we weren't doing just this thing for Tux. We're also going to do some stuff for me. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. Having that kind of buffer was really helpful. Yeah. And
cool.
Yeah, it made it more of a rounded experience.
Yeah.
I am curious. You mentioned, Rach, going, you said, well, that was our first CAP and, you know, our second and our third. Now that you've been to a bunch of them, have you discovered that your sort of capacity, your tolerance, your desire for that experience has grown, that, well, now I can actually engage more than I did the first time?
Yeah, very, very much so. Very much so. Yeah, definitely. I, you know, going into it also, you know, suddenly I had a lot of fears of, well, am I the outcast? I'm the one not I had a lot of, you know, worries about how do I participate? Where do I fit in now? I've really found a lot of space for myself. The middles room, I was like, I didn't even know, you know, this also comes with like understanding the spectrum of like age play, age play is so prevalent in like every day. And, when I saw the middles rooms, I was like, this is where I'm going to be. Like, they've got Daria. I feel like I'm like 13 again in the 90s. And I found myself, and it was cool. It was cool to find unexpected space and involvement. And I was like, I'm going to sit here and like make a friendship bracelet and watch Daria and listen to like Spice Girls.
Oh, that's so good. Oh
my gosh. Can I do that right now?
Yeah.
That was Rach, like next time we get together, we have to do that.
The coolest part of Cap is just the different levels. Just because, you know, the emphasis may be on diapers. There's really different versions and variations of age play and like it's, you know, the spectrum. But I did. I found every event and every space that I go to, I find more of myself and more involvement, kind of effortlessly. And that's really what's a beautiful thing and what kind of keeps us coming back.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And if you would have told me that in the beginning, I would have, you know, would not have believed you, but it's interesting once you kind of accept it and keep yourself open to the experience, what can happen. It's really a beautiful thing. It's not an easy thing, but it's a beautiful thing.
I love that. I love your openness going in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay to have fears, but just also be open.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. Pairing your fears with like, you know, being open to the experience, because if you know, it is a lot about your headspace and how you enter.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not ready for that, then forcing it's not going to do you any good.
That's so true.
Yeah.
If you're not, but you know, it may be a scary thing, but keeping, you know, your mind and your heart open just to the experience, even if it's not the experience you thought it would be. I found that so much with like our first cap. Just, you know, it led me to a really beautiful place.
And did you two make friends? And how, I'm wondering how you found your place as a couple within the community around you.
So many friends. It took a while. You know, I remember the first few hours I was like, I don't know how I'm ever going to like talk to people. Or I was so shy and like meek and really just clay. I felt like a little closed clay. I'm like peeking out, like, what's happening? Once we, you know, met, you know, a few friends, started to kind of talk to people, from there, it was just, oh, here, I'd like to introduce you to these people. And from there, it opened a floodgate of so many people that, you know, all of a sudden I went from having zero friends to having 100 friends.
That's a lot of friends.
Yeah, that's a cool, you know. But
that's,
it is.
Awesome.
It really kind of felt like, it's funny just how everyone, we kind of like, everyone led us to everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a really funny story with how our first CAP experience, I think, really ended well. So it started rocky because, like Rach said, you know, we were both out of our element. This is a very overwhelming place to be, especially because we're both kind of introverted. So going and, you know, putting yourself out there in front of 1,500 people is a lot. But one of the things that I think really made our first CAP so special was we were attending one of the classes that Dr. Rota was teaching, and we kind of synced up with her afterwards, and she mentioned that a bunch of people were going to go out to a dinner that night for a discussion around like an institute type of thing for ABDL. So we said, hey, let's go out and do it. You know, it could be fun. So we went just out on a whim, and we met a lot of really cool people, but one person in particular we like just talked to for like an hour and a half at dinner, and we ended up catching an Uber back to the hotel with them. And, you know, just through small talk, they said, yeah, I'm going to a party. afterwards, once we get back to the hotel, you guys should come with and check it out. It's, you know, it's like an open party. So we were like, yeah, sure. Where is it at? I don't remember exactly where our hotel room was the first cap, but they told us the room number, and it was the room right next to ours. Like, oh, wow. Literally our neighbors at the hotel. So
you're like, wait.
Yeah. So we were like, okay, well let's go check it out. So we walked in and met everybody, and the people, the hosts, were like, oh shit, we're in trouble because our neighbors are here telling us to quiet down. They're annoyed with how loud we're being. And we met a ton of really awesome people at that party, and we made friends with our neighbors and actually hung out with them throughout CAP, and that was very lucky because, like I said, we're both kind of introverted, but they're both very extroverted, and they went out and kind of took us under their wing in a way, and, you know, introduced us to a bunch of people, including you, RY. I remember it was the last night of CAP, so I think it was Saturday night, and we met you, and I was like starstruck. It was like, holy crap, this is RY. Oh my gosh, like, I can't believe we're meeting you. And you know, gave you a big hug, and I think I told you, like, you helped save our marriage.
I remember that exact moment, Tux. Wow. I remember meeting you guys, and I feel so lucky that you, and glad that you came over, because then I got to make friends who now I have had for years, and we get to show up for each other's real life stuff, and all because you both decided to say yes to going to a big event, and then you decided to come say hello and share your story, and I made an amazing couple of friends out of it. So I'm grateful for that too.
It was incredible. And one last tip I'll say, you know, for vanilla partners going to their first CAP, you know, talking with Dr. Rhoda in the lead up going there, I had a lot of anxiety and hesitations. And she said, and this still sticks with me, at its essence, it's just a lot of people that are just being their genuine selves, and they're just happy. It's 1,500 people that are just being happy and hanging out with each other and socializing. And that's what CAP is. Like, you'll never see more genuine versions of people than at CAPCON. People let all of their guards down, and just everyone has a smile. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And I found that to be true with other, you know, smaller events and things that we've gone to as well, is that for the most part, everyone's just being very authentic and at times vulnerable, but really we all share this thing, but mostly we're just connecting as humans, like other adult humans connect, right? Yeah,
exactly.
But I do think that there is like a special little thing with ABDL folks, that we are a lot of times just happier and more open, I think. I think kink in general, I think more open to getting to know people and wanting to authentically know who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's so I found coming in, because I'm not, you know, I was not factory installed. Mm-hmm. So coming into the community, I have my own story too. And that's what kept bringing me back.
Yeah, that vulnerability, that real authenticity.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we've said before, and I'll share it here again, when you're meeting somebody and you already know each other's most vulnerable, I don't know if I'll call it a secret, but most vulnerable truth.
Part of you.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty hard to play in the shallow end after that.
Right. Exactly. How?
So you end up making pretty deep friends.
Yeah.
About things that have nothing to do with ABDL.
Exactly. And we had a gathering last night of, there was 12 of us. Mm-hmm. One of us. There was 12 of us. And like, we all have this thing, but like, I think we talked about dips, like, I don't know, 3 times in, 4 hours.
Mostly maybe. We just sang karaoke and watched ridiculous YouTube videos. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's a thing to know too, is like, mostly it's not going to be like, coming in, I thought too, like, oh my gosh, all we're going to ever do is talk about dips and look at dips and blah, blah, blah. But that's not It's just friends.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah. If it was just talking about dip, I totally agree with you, Lola.
Tux shared some kind of, I think, brilliant closing thoughts for the first timer. Do you have any thoughts for the first timer, maybe even partner of somebody with an ABDL kink who's never been to an event before? Because CapCon happens, I mean, we happen to be recording this a couple weeks before CapCon, which is, it's a big event. So folks might be listening to this and thinking about how they're going to pack for CapCon or how they're going to mentally prepare or set up boundaries. Yeah. Any advice for that first timer?
I think just trying as much as you can to be in tune with your feelings. There's no wrong way to feel about it. Not putting any kind of value on, you know, I found myself worrying about what I would have considered very silly things. But in retrospect, they weren't silly. They were my feelings and they were my fears. Mm. So being just vulnerable and honest with yourself going into it, keeping an open heart. I know that that's not always an easy thing, but keeping an open heart and an open mind to the experience, I think you might be as surprised. I hope that you are just as surprised as I am and find community and friends on the other side. But just keeping yourself open and again, checking in with yourself. It's okay to even schedule it because it can be a very overwhelming, sweepingly experience. And just taking it in like micro, you know, taking it in increments as opposed to like, it can be very intimidating. Like I'm going, you know, it's a very immersive experience as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to kind of, if you need to take yourself, even if you're having a blast, take yourself out of it for a few minutes and just be like, you know what? I'm good. I found a lot of value in that, but there's really no wrong way to feel about it. I found myself, you know, a lot of sleepless nights being like, oh man, this is kind of crazy, isn't it? But drink a lot of water, like all the kind of silly stuff, but like have structure. I found a lot of value in like the classes. There's so much of an education aspect to it as well. Mm-hmm. So many resources. Dr. Rhoda, so many podcasts, books. I would just really delve into third-party resources because I found, you know, all of the things that Dr. Rhoda told me, Tux could have told me, but it didn't hold what it would have as an outside person. So, and just have fun. Like, it's kind of hard not to, but like, just allow yourself to like have fun and be surprised at what space you might find.
I love that.
Me too. This is really solid. And Lola, I should ask you.
Oh.
I know that you're hosting, but you're also guesting and producing here. But any advice that you would have as somebody who has now not only gone for the first time, but gone a couple of times for people who are considering going to an event? It doesn't have to be CAP, but...
Similarly, CapCon was literally my first thing that I did in the community.
Amazing.
I did a lot of crazy, right? Yeah. Yeah. I was just like, I'm jumping into this thing. It's happening. I was so excited. So it was kind of a different, you know, I was allowing myself to go explore my own kink and find my place within that kink. So it was from a different perspective when I finally went to my first event. But I found it really helpful. Well, I mean, I'll have to share. So our first, we were going together. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had a friend that if I was like, whoa, I'm really feeling overwhelmed. Knowing that I have at least a friend or a partner, whoever, hopefully you have that, you know, and having a conversation ahead of time, we talked about it ahead of time, like, I am afraid of like needing time and space with you, but I'm just going to put that out there that like, I might need that at some point, and having that upfront conversation about what you need maybe from your friend or partner going in, or what you think you might need, just so that they're prepared for it. And me being the person that I want people to go and just like have the best experience, like I knew that was going to be difficult for me. I didn't want to take you away from the experience you were having if I needed help.
I see.
So I know I expressed that exact fear to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When we were going.
Yeah, that you need to have your outlets in your experience, correct. But you don't want to mess up my experience correct. In the process.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so just like knowing that, and you were so great and you were like, hey, I want you to like, don't worry about that, mm-hmm. you know, and I will tell you and just be honest. Like if I, you know what, maybe I can't talk right now, but like, let's meet in an hour or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So knowing I had that backup if I needed it.
Yeah.
And then also, yeah, I tend to be I'm an over planner, but that helps me. So I had like all of the outfits and all of the things, and it was good for me to have something to put my energy into, my nervous, excited energy into being like, well, even if like everyone hates me and I'm not having fun, like I'm still going to look cute and that's going to be good for me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Whatever it is that you need, or like, hey, I'm going to take like, and I also, this was also a good tip. I wanted to meet people, but I knew it would be hard for me to go up to people on my own and just say, hi, I'm Lola. I made stickers. And I took stickers that first year.
Yeah.
And so that was really easy. I could literally just be like, hey, you want a sticker? I didn't even have to say.
Yeah, now you're having a conversation.
Now I'm having a conversation. And then other people see stickers and they're like, I want a sticker. And I'm like, you absolutely. Do? Come on over here.
I still have one of your pee weirdo stickers.
Pee weirdo.
You did have, did you custom make your pee weirdo sticker?
I custom made all of them.
Yeah.
Because I'm that person.
Because you're that person.
But that was really helpful for me too. Mm-hmm. Knowing I had a plan. I wanted to meet people. I had a goal, but I knew that might be difficult for me. So I had a way to make that less difficult for me.
Yeah.
So planning ahead.
And interestingly, if I remember right.
Anticipating your needs. Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, please, Rach.
Anticipating your needs is such a big thing, Lola. Yeah. Like, it's, yeah, just hearing your experience as well. It's like it is. It's, you have to, you kind of have to, even if you're not a planner, you kind of have to plan ahead and account for those possible scenarios.
Right.
Yeah. I love the word you use to goal. You had a goal.
Yeah.
Which is something I think most people, myself included, don't think about going into an event.
Mm.
What do I want this to result in? Mm-hmm. What feeling do I want to have? What do I want to leave with? And I love the idea of saying, okay, A, here's my battle plan. Here's my plan B. Here's how I create safety and comfort and self-care. B, what do I want to get out of this and how might I get that?
Mm-hmm.
So if what you want to get out is a ton of education, how do you plan accordingly to not stay up so late that you can't get up early for the 9 a.m. class or whatever, right? How do you bring the notepad so that you remember everything you can, all that kind of stuff? If what you want to do is socialize as you did, how do you bring social tools like stickers? I think it's so good. And then the other advice that I'm hearing is to leave lots of space if you are going with a partner for that partner to get what they need.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be what you need.
Right.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, our first cap, I was the first one to pull the ripcord. I remember you were having such a great time connecting with so many people. I pulled the social ripcord. I went to my room for an hour and just did meditation and took a nap.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that's what I needed. Even though it was your battle plan.
Right.
I was like, I'm pulling the ripcord. I went, I took a nap. I came back feeling like $1 million.
Right. But having that space from each other and also feeling comfortable to be like, I need to go do this. Mm-hmm. And me being like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know, it's not because I'm too much or whatever. Like, you just need it. You're like, I have a need and I need space. And I'm like, great. Go do that.
And what made that work was that we had talked about it beforehand.
Right.
If we had not, I never would have felt like I could tell you that because it would feel like rejection to you. I would feel like I was being mean. But because we'd talked about it, I felt like it was okay for me to say, hey, you go, spend time with other people, leave me the room for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Let's separate so that I can have some recharging time.
Absolutely.
And then you didn't have to feel rejected and I didn't have to feel like a jerk.
Yeah. And you know where I went in that hour?
No.
To the middles room.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Did you go make a friendship bracelet?
Did you meet Rach?
I was actually thinking, I believe I met Rach and Tux at the Love and Brief live recording.
What?
That first cap. I believe that's where I met you guys.
We did.
Right?
Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
I just remember you being like, hi, I'm Lola. And I'm like, oh my gosh, hi.
Do you still have your takeaway? Whatever. What did we put out? We put out magnets?
Yeah, no, that was the koozies.
Oh, beer koozies?
Koozies. I still have mine.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm still trying. I mean, cap is like 2 weeks away and I still haven't made our giveaway this year. So
we got to get on.
We got to get on that, but you know, this is a good plug.
And then
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yes. Okay. We're going to miss you guys.
We're going to miss you guys this year. This is a good time for a plug, and then we'll wrap up. But we are doing a live Love and Brief this year, too. So 9:30 on Saturday morning. I know it's early.
Okay. No, it's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
9:30 Saturday morning, main stage room. Bring your questions with you, and we'll have a panel as we always do, and we will answer live questions from the audience for the entire episode. And then for those who can't attend CAP, which is most people, we are going to bring that episode to you right after CapCon so that you can have that little taste of CapCon, the live Love and Brief podcast recording. Okay. That was my plug. Now we can get back to wrapping up with our friends.
Our why. Do we have any spoilers or sneak peek into the panel? Who the panel is going to be?
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me find a sneak
peek. If it's a secret, then you
you'll have to be there and tune in next time. Okay.
There are at least two people that we have talked about in the last hour who will be on the panel. Ah. That is my only clue. Oh. And I am not one of them. Okay. I mean, I'm Batman. Hosting, but yes, Batman. It is Bruce Wayne. Kirk. It's actually Bruce Wayne's parents, which is going to make for a pretty depressing panel.
That's strange.
Hey, Rach and Tux, if folks wanted to get in touch with you after this episode, how might they do that?
So we have a FET. It is Rach and Tux. So spelled out A-N-D, Tux. We are probably the most boring follow that you could ever do, but feel free to follow us if you want. I think I get on maybe once a month and like diaper pictures from Lola and Tiniest Tyrant, and
nice.
and that's about all you're going to get from us. But if you want to send us a message with any questions or thoughts, we'll reply back. I will not accept a friend request unless we've met in person in real life. That's a boundary. So I do want to make sure that that we all respect that. But other than that, I do have a Reddit. It's TTABDL. Again, I get on like, I don't think I've actually gone on there for like 3 months. but if you wanted to,
so just message, disregard all of maybe, this.
Yeah, disregard maybe, everything he just said. How about this? In, 6 months. I know that you. Yeah, I know that you said you're not terribly active on there, but I do know that you are connected with us through Love and Brief, and that you've donated time and effort to the podcast, and that I could probably, if somebody wanted to get on our Love and Brief podcast group on FetLife and shoot me a note and say at Resonant ES, could you ask Rach and Tux this for me? I can get in touch with you guys. How about that?
Yeah.
And that also will get folks to check out the Love and Brief FetLife group.
I love that group. I when I was first discovering the community, trying to dive in with my partner, I found the discussions on that really helpful and like down to earth. And so please, I think people should go check out the Love and Brief discussion group on FetLife. I found it as a good resource.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. Yeah, we put every episode up there. We have discussions around the episodes as they come up. So if you give me an at on this episode and you say, at Resonant Yes, ask Rach and Tux this, I will make sure Rach and Tux get it. How about that?
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, and also, I'm open to any, if anyone has any questions or wanted to have like any kind of one-on-one discussion or anything that I can offer anyone that's about to be in my position or has, found themselves in, I love to be a resource to anyone and that would even just benefit from talking to me for 5 minutes. I'm open in here. So.
That's so generous.
That is really generous. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the best, Rach.
You are the best, Rach. Oh, Rach, will you please share with us how you describe yourself within this kink community? Because it's the best thing.
Oh, yeah. I put Nilla, but Nilla's not quite accurate.
What is it, Rach?
So obviously, like, there's, the term vanilla. And after CAP, I was like, I'm not vanilla anymore. And so I was like, I'm going to refer to myself as, like, a swirl or, like, vanilla cone with sprinkles. Like, I've earned my sprinkles back.
Heck yeah, you have.
You've earned your sprinkles, yeah. Your chocolate dip, a little bit of whipped cream and a cherry.
I think some whipped cream, some cherries.
Absolutely.
The Sunday is building upon it.
Yes.
Rach and Tux, it has been such a pleasure to have you and to thank you for sharing your story with us. I know sometimes looking in the rearview mirror can feel difficult when you've gone through difficult times.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, what you shared is I think, going to connect with and help a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
I hope so. Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure.
Absolutely. And Lola, welcome to the podcast, and thank you for bringing Rach and Tux to Love and Brief.
Oh, yay.
You were an awesome co-host today.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing. And you're an awesome partner.
Great. Oh, thank you, love.
And friends, we are, of course, going to do our live episode here in just a couple of weeks from CapCon. And we think we may even get a little CapCon preview coming up even before that. But if you missed A Love and Brief, we have our entire back catalog, of course, available to you. We are currently on episode 111, so there's a lot to go back and listen to. And we have all of our transcripts. They're available at transcripts.loveandbrief.com. And Rach and Tux and Lola and Teddy and the whole Scribies group have been awesome about keeping it moving. So thank you. And that's about it. This has been another episode of Love in Brief.